what's ahead for Grone Brothers Aviation and autogyros in general. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Yesterday, I started a conversation with David Grone of Grone Brothers Aviation, and we talked about the significance of a just-announced joint venture with a Chinese partner, which could see the reintroduction of the Sparrowhawk light gyroplane kit in the U.S. market, with some new technology it has not had before. But the focus of Grone Brothers going forward will be aircraft we haven't seen before. We'll finish the conversation today. Well, let's dive ahead into the future then, because obviously you have some things that have appeared as, as, for lack of a better term, artist conceptions on the website that are very exciting for the future. You've also presented a full-scale mock-up of one of your new aircraft at a major show in China. Tell us where gyroplanes are going and what the future is, and also frame that, if you would, within the question of has the seeming embrace of the military of vertical takeoff and landing drones in the last 2 years somewhat removed some of the opportunity or opened a bigger one?
I think that then to answer your last question, it has opened bigger opportunities. In fact, there's a lot of things going on in the military right now, both in manned and unmanned programs, using sustained auto-rotating flight technologies. And more about that later. To answer the first part of your question, where are we going? What's going on here? What is growing up to these days? And therefore, what's the course that this technology is going to take? You know, the story, which is the value of sustained auto-rotating flight aircraft to the world, has not changed from us in 20 years. I mean, the reason to do what we are doing hasn't changed. Light, but sustained auto-rotating flight aircraft that are stable, easy to fly, low cost, reliable, vertical takeoff and landing, so you don't need runways. All of those things in an aircraft that's safe, low and slow, if needs be, is something that this country and the world has needed and wants and will buy. We're convinced of it and have been all along. What's happened is that in these two decades and tens of millions of dollars worth of research that we've spent, we've come a long ways along the understanding of how all of this works and why and how to get the best performance out of an aircraft and how to make the aircraft light enough and on and on and on. I mean, we truly have pushed that envelope a long, long ways out from where it had ever been before. And in fact, so much so that we now are just simply needing to be in a relationship with an appropriate industrial partner that allows us to properly fund the commercialization of these technologies. We don't have to invent anything more. We've got powerful, capable, amazing technologies. We're filing 58 new patents in last 4 months and what we'll be doing the rest of this year. We're 26 new ones as of first of the year and out of a total of at least 58 new patents that we're filing. So we've come a long, long ways. Been real quiet, I'm sorry to say, but we've come a long ways in our understanding of sustained auto-rotating flight. So we have the ability and have done a great deal of work as far as preliminary design work for the Arrowhawk and the Shadowhawk to simply partner up with the right people and commercialize those products to where they belong.
All right, this word commercialize needs a little digging. There have been a number of companies that have set out to be technology development companies without taking on eventual certification or production that have sought to license technologies to other manufacturers. I think the only conspicuous success so far has been Carter. What is the vision for Grone Brothers going forward? Do you folks envision yourself as eventually having an assembly line running or selling it or licensing the technology or some combination in between?
There may simply be a combination in between. We've never looked at this at simply developing and licensing technology, though I can foresee that there will be some opportunities to license technologies that would be worth doing. Our expectation is that we're going to be partnering with companies, like we just did in China with this very bright, well-funded group, to develop a class of aircraft. We're going to do more of that is what I expect. So to say, is Groen Brothers Aviation going to be a manufacturing firm? Indirectly in that we will have ownership of manufacturing companies is what I expect. Again, there's a lot of ways this can go, and there's a lot I can't yet tell you about. But my expectation is that the future for us is going to be in really basing our who we are and what we're doing on our know-how, and we'll partner up with people that know how to build aircraft, and that's different than just licensing the technology. In that we're going to be owners of those companies, and you know, in certain cases, minority owners, and in other cases, majority owners. But we'll see that this technology gets properly developed. And when I say commercialized, you know, we've spent a lot of time and a lot of money trying to make a success of this company, and success is simply identified in. You don't mind my crudeness of it, building something people want or are willing to pay for. Mm-hmm. That is good, that works, that is what it's supposed to be and provides the benefits that the manufacturer promised it would provide. I mean, that's what I'm talking about when I say commercialize this product, this technology.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the gyroplane itself, or as you like to call it, sustained autorotative flight. All the enthusiasts of small, light gyroplanes inspired by the Benson gyrocopter and that whole renaissance of the type of flight that happened back in the late 50s, early 60s, know that this, for certain purposes, is the greatest light sport aircraft of all time. I mean, if you want to fly at 300 feet above the beach at 35 miles an hour, this is the thing to have, and do it in winds that may, you know, actually exist in the real world. A gyroplane is hard to beat. The applications that suggests in the commercial, industrial, military world are all low and slow surveillance. You know, that, you know, pipeline inspection, all that kind of that thing. To what extent is the rapid onrush of unmanned technology putting at risk the future market for manned low and slow aircraft?
The military likes unmanned for appropriate reasons. They don't want to risk pilots. For the military, the only reason to go rotor wing unmanned is vertical takeoff and landing, is so that you don't need launch and recovery equipment to send the aircraft off. There's probably a few things going on in the unmanned world with helicopters where they're going to try to hover the aircraft for part of its actual operating mission. Mostly, it's vertical takeoff and landing. That's why rotor wing aircraft. And a gyroplane can perform, been doing it since the 20s, vertical takeoff and landing very easily, makes and do so at a fraction of the complexity of a helicopter. So a sustained autorotative flight aircraft, and the reason I use that is because gyrodynes, which is what the Ferry Rotordyne was, and that is a gyroplane that powers its rotor for some period of its flight, normally takeoff and landing and hovering. Military wants to hover, has to hover. Their missions require hovering. So a gyrodyne, which would power its rotor, in our case through tip jets, reaction drives at the tip of the rotor blades, once it's off and flying past transitional lift, the tip jets are turned off, and it's a gyroplane otherwise for the rest of its flight. So we say sustained autorotative flight for another reason, and that is that the helicopter world believes that they understand autorotative flight, and they do under certain conditions, and that is a very steep angle of approach for the airframe. I mean, steep from where it's flying to where it's going to land at a given forward airspeed, typically 50 to 60 knots, through to a touchdown. That's different than sustained auto-rotated flight. The dynamics, the physical dynamics of the vehicle are significantly different. And particularly if you start talking now about speeds over 200 miles an hour, over 150 to 200 and 250 and beyond, the helicopter world absolutely has no understanding of what goes on in sustained auto-rotated flight, even though all helicopters must auto-rotate. So in war, everything's headed unmanned, I think. That's going to be where people are going to would otherwise have to be in harm's way. In the civilian world, there's not so much of that. We're not worried about people shooting at our flying machines that are flying border patrols or local police departments. It happens, we know, but it's not the norm. And what is going to be a problem for unmanned replacing manned programs over the U.S. is the FAA's reluctance to permit unmanned aircraft to fly over populated areas or fly within in traffic. I mean, you know, none of us who flew for a living like the idea of unmanned aircraft flying around out there that you don't know where they are and there's not a pilot you can talk to in the cockpit. So I think we're a long ways away from the FAA permitting a great deal of unmanned operations going on, so much so that manned aircraft would be threatened by it.
In a moment, how is Grone Brothers Aviation set for the funding necessary to advance these programs? More with David Grone in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Welcome back to the ANN special feature. Paul Plack here, and I'm talking with David Grone of Grone Brothers Aviation. A number of aerospace developers have had great ideas stalled for the lack of adequate funding in the last couple of years. How is Grone Brothers set now going forward financially to pursue these goals? And was this joint venture, did this result in any usable capital to the company for other projects?
The joint venture provided no cash to the company. And in fact, this joint venture is not our major efforts within China. It's an important program for us. We care a whole bunch about it, and we're owners of the company. So we're going to do everything we can to help that JV be very, very successful with its product line. And I put it that way because there's potential within this joint venture to acquire more technology from Grone Brothers, and we hope that's the case. We look forward to it being so successful that it makes a lot of sense for us to license even more technology to the JV or transfer that technology. And the things that we, including our financiers, are working on in that part of the world are big. It's big. These are big deals, and they're consuming a great deal of our time and energy and a great deal of investment capital from our financiers. They've put up big dollars to make this happen and are working hard as well, smart and hard. We've just really got an amazing team on that side as well. So our hopes are high. We're alive and well, and you know, 2.5 years ago, there wasn't much chance of that happening. I think there weren't more than a handful of us that still believed that Grone was viable in the late summer of 08. But we are and survived, and our prospects are better than ever, really.
Well, you've made it through a very difficult economic period. You threw kind of a scare into us last year when that real estate agent's available sign went up in the front of your parking lot.
We did, and of course, you know, we've shrunk our size down sufficiently where we didn't need the whole of this building. So our landlords have been trying to lease out the east end, the east two-fifths or three-fifths of the building, without success, incidentally. So we still occupy the whole building. Again, it's been a tough road. I mean, it's quite remarkable that we're still here and viable and have opportunities and. You know, I mean, this is really remarkable. I'm in constant awe of my good fortune and in constant awe of the fact that this won't die. And some of why it won't die is because we won't give up. And surprising that how powerful that simple thing has been. We won't give up. We won't quit.
Well, I agree. It's very powerful. And we will watch, obviously, the press releases with great interest and hope to get to talk to you again whenever there's more to talk about.
Well, I appreciate it. And again, Paul, thank you kindly for calling. And we've had a great number of people pulling for us all these years. And that's why we're here. It took a big effort by a lot of real smart, capable people and believers, people who've put up their hard-earned money in order to make this work because they believe we were right.
David Groen is the chairman, president, CEO, and CFO of Groen Brothers Aviation. Find out more about the company online at groenbros.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. That's A-E-R-O. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.